I'm going to talk to you about a study that we did in North Carolina about young worker fatalities and related OSHA and child labor violations. And I'd like to acknowledge my colleague Carol Runyon, who is a co-investigator on the project, and also acknowledge that the work was funded by a grant from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health. No disclosures. So the purpose of this study was to get a better understanding of the extent to which young worker fatalities involve child labor violations and or OSHA standards violations, and how well enforcement agencies are investigating these fatality cases. So population-based case series in all of North Carolina, covering 1990 to 2008. Inclusion criteria, decedents had to be between the ages of 10 and 17, fatally injured while at work in all civilian settings. We excluded suicides and poisonings. Work-related, we defined a work-related injury using the Work-Related Injury Statistics Query System Operational Guidelines for Determination of Injury at Work. And under these guidelines, there are three scenarios that fit the definition of work-related. The first is that the fatality occurred on employer premises while the worker was engaged in a work activity or on a break. The decedent could also be working off the employer premises, but while engaged in a work activity, such as traveling to and from job sites, that's different from traveling to work, transporting materials, or where the vehicle is the work environment, such as delivery or truck driver. And lastly, the decedent could be working in a family business, including family farms, where they're doing tasks that can be assumed to be in support of the family enterprise. Our cases were all found through the North Carolina Office of the Chief Medical Examiner, which has an outstanding system. They even have an on-the-job injury variable. So the first thing we did was we asked OCME to give us a list of all the cases in their database where they had identified the fatality as occurring on the job. And then we excluded any cases that didn't meet our definition of work-related, which I think there was only one case that we had to take out. And then my data collector, mostly, and I proceeded to review over 3,600 cases, looking for work-related deaths that fit the inclusion criteria. All told, we found 31 work-related fatalities. 28 of them were in the OCME database, and only 3 were identified by the study team. And I just want you to take a second to appreciate what a great job that the North Carolina Medical Examiner System is doing. Okay, over 3,600 cases, and we found 3. So they're doing a superb job. The study population we're looking at, the ages 11 to 17, there were no 10-year-olds. Most of them were male. 2/3 were 16 or 17. Most of them were white. The next largest racial group were Hispanics. I think these probably fit in line with what we know. And most of the fatalities were in construction and agriculture. The child labor provisions we're interested in looking at were minimum age requirements, and that's just basically did they meet the minimum age for work in their particular industry, whether it was agriculture or non-ag? And we're looking at hour restrictions specifically. Were they working within the time of day they're allowed to work or outside of the time they were allowed to work? And also looking at the tasks and occupations, which we looked at the hazardous, really the hazardous occupations orders. These are federal laws that prohibit certain jobs and tasks for all youth under the age of 18. Additional prohibitions for 14 and 15-year-olds, and correct me if I'm wrong, but these are referred to as Reg 3, okay? And also the agricultural hazardous orders, which pertain to workers under 16 who are not working on a family farm, and the North Carolina detrimental occupations. The North Carolina Wage and Hour Act adopted the federal hazardous orders, But in, I believe it was 2000, they had added 9 occupations deemed too dangerous for anyone under 16 to perform. So we looked at those too. So in determining the violations, they were all based on the laws at the time when the fatal injury occurred. Remember, this goes back to 1990, and there were a few changes in the period. 3 members of the study team independently reviewed the case details. With respect to activity at the time of injury, the age of the decedent, the industry they were in, and whether or not the business was owned by a family, which is pertinent to the hours and the agricultural regulations. To look at enforcement activity, we used agency investigation records. Child labor laws, we looked at the U.S. DOL Wage and Hour Division. They enforce the federal laws, and the North Carolina Wage and Hour Bureau, who enforce the state laws. And the OSHA standards, North Carolina runs a state plan, so the North Carolina Division of Occupational Safety and Health enforce the OSHA standards in North Carolina. The main outcomes of interest with respect to enforcement: did the agency investigate the fatality? Were there violations found? And were any of the violations responsible for the young worker's death? So we'll look at violations first. We found 15 cases where there was 1 or more child labor violations. That's about half of the fatalities. Within those 15 cases, there were 18 total violations. You can see that most of the cases, there was only 1 violation, and a couple of others, there were multiple violations. This table shows the sort of the breakdown of where, you know, what the different types of violations are. So there were 2 cases where there was a minimum age violation, no hour limits violations, and what you may or may not expect, I did, 16 violations related to tasks and occupations that are prohibited, 14 hazardous orders violations, 2 Reg 3, no agricultural hazardous order violations, and none of the North Carolina detrimental occupations. So if we just pick out the 16, the hazardous orders and the Reg 3, this is the tasks. This shows more specifics about the different the different hazardous orders. The light blue are the tasks that are prohibited for 14, 15-year-olds. The darker, those are things that are prohibited for all young workers. And you can see that motor vehicles and roofing are the 2 big ones. So on to enforcement, I just want to point out that these are preliminary. The study is still going on, and we still have some work to do in this respect. So just keep that in mind when you see these results. Okay. I had wanted to just sort of show you the table without the numbers, but I didn't get that far. So I'm going to try to explain this the best I can. The first line is the investigations and violations found by the North Carolina Department of Labor. Second line is the U.S. Department of Labor. So the second column of searchable cases, this number represents the number of cases for which we could actually determine whether or not an investigation happened, okay? There are 7 for the North Carolina Department of Labor, and that's because in 2000 they went to an automated, an electronic system had destroyed all their records prior to 2000. So we actually have no way of knowing what Wage and Hour in North Carolina did in terms of these violations prior to 2000. But 2000 forward, we can see that of the 7, 1 case was investigated, there was a violation found in that case, and that violation was responsible in part for the death. U.S. Department of Labor Wage and Hour Division, they require an employer name to be able to search their database. We only had employer names for 22 cases. So we could only determine whether or not they had investigated these 22 cases. So they had investigated 9 of those 22. Of the 9, 4 cases involved a violation. And in those cases where there was a violation, 3 of the 4, were implicated in the young worker's death. This is just another way to show this, showing the percent of cases for which we could determine investigation activity. And the lighter block, the larger block, those are the cases that did not get investigated. So North Carolina Wage and Hour did not investigate 86% of the cases, and a little more than half for the U.S. Wage and Hour. OSHA enforcement, again, these are also preliminary. North Carolina, OSHA, their jurisdiction, they have limits to what they can investigate. So they typically do not investigate homicides. They do not investigate motor vehicle incidents on public roads. And this was exciting for us because they could search their database with an employer name or a decedent name. And that meant that all 31 cases were searchable. And among those 31 cases, they had jurisdiction over 25. Of these 25 cases, 11 were investigated, so about half. What did OSHA find? In the 11 cases, all 11 involved one or more standards violations. There's a wide range of standards violated. There's a lot of different types of jobs kids were doing. A common one, there was a lot of citations under the general duty clause to provide a safe workplace. There were also several where training, the standard to provide health and safety training, was not met. The range of violations in these cases, between 1 and 33. And in 9 of the 11 cases, the investigator had determined that the violation was responsible for the young worker's death. So what can we conclude? Overall, there are relatively few fatalities in this 18-year period in North Carolina, but half of them may have been preventable if the child labor laws had been followed. OSHA violations are prominent in young worker deaths. All of the cases investigated involved a violation. 82% were implicated in the young worker death, and I don't have it on my slide, but I was crunching some more numbers last night because that's fun. Of the 11 cases that North Carolina OSHA investigated, 72% of them also had a child labor violation. So sometimes we've got this double whammy of OSHA violation and a child labor standard, child labor law being violated. And preliminarily, enforcement activity appears to be weak on both fronts. But we do have to sort of take this right now with a grain of salt, because we do have more to learn about the enforcement process. So a couple of cautions. I just wanted to say that we were not able to determine employer coverage of the Fair Labor Standards Act or the Wage and Hour Act. You know, it can get rather complicated. It has to do with how much money an employer is earning over a period of time. But there's also, there's enterprise coverage and there's individual coverage. I'm sure our Wage and Hour colleagues can talk more about that. So I did just want to say that, you know, that we just don't know this for all of the cases. And we're still working to understand the enforcement mandates and responsibilities. It's possible that some of the cases that were not investigated by the U.S. Department of Labor could have been investigated by North Carolina. We know that there's some sharing of responsibilities, and we still have a little to learn about that. There also may be other jurisdictional issues that we're not aware of. And their standard for work-related may be different than what we used, and that may have something to do with why certain cases might not have been investigated. And lastly, of course, we have to remind everybody that this was one state. So we can't say for sure that the findings are really indicative of what's happening in the rest of the country. Just want to talk briefly about our next steps in the project. So we plan to meet with representatives from both North Carolina and U.S. Wage and Hour and North Carolina OSHA to share these results with them and have them help us interpret the findings on enforcement and help us gain a better understanding of the process, what our expectations should be, and to discuss why there may be gaps in enforcement and potential strategies for improvement. and certainly how to improve employer compliance with laws and standards. After we do that, our big finale is to convene a statewide stakeholder meeting. This is really sort of trying to work towards that NIOSH R2P, really making these results tangible and actionable. So we will invite legislators, public health officials, agency officials to come together and to consider the results, to consider all of this discussion that we've had, and really try to come up with some realistic strategies for moving forward to address some of the issues that have been raised in order to try to better protect the young workers in North Carolina. Thank you.
Time slot to do some questions right now, so if you'd like to ask specifics,
okay.
Come on over here, I'll go ahead and say your name and where you are and speak up.
Yeah, the question was whether or not we went to NIOSH to see if they had done any face investigations, and we had not. We just didn't go that route, but I think that's an excellent source of even more data. Absolutely. Absolutely. I can just go right over there on my lunch break.
Can you remind me, in the IMIS database, when you look at the enforcement, was it in the IMIS database?
No. We made written requests to the Department of Labor for copies of the investigation records.
So
the question was whether or not in the OSHA investigations, did the investigator, him or herself, indicate that a violation was involved in the death? And yes, they do that. So when I gave those numbers of 9 of 11, that was not my determination, but the investigator's determination. So Kelly asked to comment on the willingness of the agencies to work with us. And I think that when we first went in, when we went in with the grant proposal, they were very interested in working with us. And we had relatively good amount of cooperation. One thing that we had hoped to be able to do was to be able to talk to the compliance officers, they're called now, the people who go out in the field and do these inspections, to get a sense of how they think things are going and what are the gaps and what are the limitations and how we might overcome them. But we weren't able to do that because the support for that aspect had dried up. So, but all in all, I think it's been a very good experience. And I just wanted to make one comment. I don't know if we have time, but in some ways, I think that there's a lot of criticism of these agencies for non-enforcing, and I've been a person who's done that. But I think that we have to remember that some of this is really, it's from up on high. The folks who are doing this work day in and day out, they are committed to protecting young workers. Carol Runyon and I just came from a meeting of the Interstate Labor Standards Association, which is all the departments of labor coming together. These are a great group of people who are working their butts off with no resources, no budget, little staff. So in some ways, it's not surprising that we see this. I think the answer to some of improving some of this is to get some more resources behind these agencies so that they can really do the job that they want to do.
I have one question. The employer name wasn't on, you didn't have the employer name for a number of them, and is it just it was, if the field is asked for on the death certificate, it just wasn't available?
Yeah, a lot of times they're, the field on the death certificate didn't have the employer name, and there was no real good information in the medical examiner case file. Sometimes it was great. There's wide variety, there's great variance in what you get in some of these narratives.
Are you able to tell if it's a family business or?
We were able to tell to the extent that it was included in the narrative. So. We have, I will tell you, I have a little number written down here because we've been talking a lot about family businesses in some of these meetings. 20% of the cases, of the fatality cases, were kids who were working in a family business. 4 out of 6 were working in a convenience store owned by their parent. And 3 of those 4 deaths were homicides in the commission of a robbery. I think Carol had a question.
One last question. Oh, sorry.
Actually, it's a comment, and I.
Oh, and then.
No. Just because I think it's another alliance that others might be interested in other states. Our child fatality review, child fatality task force, which is a legislative task force charged with understanding and developing strategies to address children fatalities in the state, asked for testimony. Kimberly presented some of her findings, preliminary findings, as well as other stuff that we had. And the law changed this last year in terms of penalties. They are eager to get the final result.
Yeah.
And I mention that just because I think that may be a group in other states that others can turn to for help in implementing what might be the outcome of studies like this.
Mm-hmm. And one last question. We had a question.
I'm just curious.
We'll have more time for those.
Yeah. Foreign-born is not a variable that's collected on death certificate or the medical examiner, but I mentioned 26% were identified as Hispanic. I don't know if that's foreign-born or not. And just to add to that, you might find it of interest that 67% of the cases where there was a violation were Hispanics, compared to 44% of non-Hispanics.